Savitri, Book 1, The Book of Yoga, Canto 5, The Yoga of the King, The Yoga of the Spirit's Freedom and Greatness. This is part 3 of 3 parts. We're at the end of Book 1. It's on pages 87 to 91. We've reached the final individual attainments of the great Yogi King. These are the attainments in his own being for his own yogic self-fulfillment. The king receives the results of all he has done so far, and also the results that come because of the great cosmic powers that have been working in him. Finally, a reconciling wisdom at the height of the everlasting brings divine unity to the aspects of the king's humanity. And we will see in the future that he is now ready to go on for a divine service for the rest of humanity. In this canto, Sri Aurobindo describes the things that Aswapati sees and experiences, and he describes the way he changes without referring to the king, without saying this is happening to the king. We know that Sri Aurobindo was always writing about his own yogic experience. And here, he gives us his attainments in a general way by talking about what there is, what is seen, and what goes on, without talking about the king. The king only comes into it at the beginning and at the end. This opens it up even more directly for us to relate to. We're able to get even more from Sri Aurobindo's work. Up to this point, we've been reading Savitri in small sections between 5 and 8 pages long. We stop at the major change so that we don't read too much at one time. And almost each time, in the space of those few pages, Sri Aurobindo has described the greatness that we can achieve and the wonderful greater world to come. And then he goes down to the reality of our consciousness and the reality of the world as it is and the reality of things that have to change. Almost every time he has put both of these things in what he's written. Now, this time, we only have the greater being of the king. The king is moving up and on, forward, into the hidden worlds behind our material life. These worlds are hidden to us because of our lack of development of consciousness. But the king is ready, and Sri Aurobindo describes the occult force which allows the discovery of the worlds of a marvelous unknown. He writes about the occult force as the Shakti, the Divine Mother, the force of the Supreme. So he will be using the words her and she throughout this to show that it is always the action of the Supreme Transcendent Mother, who is the cosmos itself. Sri Aurobindo and Mother always said that we have to increase our consciousness in 2 directions, in 2 ways. We must be conscious of the highest, and we must be conscious of the lowest. So now the king is going to experience this. He enters the forefront of God's invisible house, a magic port of entry, a court of the mystic traffic of the worlds. And now life in him learns its huge subconscient rear, and the little fronts in him unlock to the unseen vasts. Here in the forefront of God's invisible house, the king discovers a great order of things, and intuitively he can see the kingdoms of the cosmic law, which start at the top, at the height of the everlasting, and go all the way down into time. And then they bring back up from time into the everlasting everything that is there. The king can see at the summit the light of the Trinity Supreme, where there is no darkness or sleep. And then Sri Aurobindo tells us that at the top, a grand solution closes the long impasse. Impasse is a French word meaning a deadlock where nothing can move, where all is stuck. And this is the impasse at the height of human effort. This is at the point in our spiritual work where we have done all that we can and can't go any longer. And now we see at the height there is a solution. There was no more quarrel of truth with truth. The king is really ready to go on. A many-miracled consciousness unrolled vast aim and process and unfettered norms, which are a larger nature's great familiar roads. There were sun belts of knowledge and moon belts of delight stretching out in ecstasy and great vastness. Here the king could enter and stay a while, in this last high world where all worlds meet. A voyager upon uncharted routes, fronting the viewless danger of the unknown, adventuring across enormous realms, he broke into another space and time. And here we are in Savitri, Book 1, the very last part of Canto 5. A border sovereign is the occult force, a threshold guardian of the earth scenes beyond. She has canalized the outbreaks of the gods and cut, through vistas of intuitive sight, a long road of shimmering discoveries. The worlds of a marvelous unknown were near. Behind her an ineffable presence stood. Her reign received their mystic influences. Their lion forces crouched beneath her feet. The future sleeps unknown behind their doors. Abysms infernal gaped round the soul's steps and called to its mounting vision peaks divine. An endless climb, an adventure of the idea there, tirelessly tempted the explorer mind, and countless voices visited the charmed ear. A million figures passed and were seen no more. This was a forefront of God's thousandfold house, beginnings of the half-screened invisible. A magic porch of entry, glimmering, quivered in a penumbra of screened light, a court of the mystical traffic of the worlds, a balcony and a miraculous facade. Above her, lightened high immensities. All the unknown looked out from boundlessness. It lodged upon an edge of hourless time, gazing out of some everlasting now, its shadows gleaming with the birth of gods, its bodies signaling the bodiless, its foreheads glowing with the oversoul, its forms projected from the unknowable, its eyes dreaming of the ineffable, its faces staring into eternity. Life in him learned its huge subconscient rear. The little fronts unlocked to the unseen vasts. Her gulfs stood nude. Her far transcendences flamed in transparencies of crowded light. A giant order was discovered here, of which the tassel and extended fringe are the scant stuff of our material lives. This overt universe, whose figures hide the secrets merged in superconscient light, wrote clear the letters of its glowing code. A map of subtle signs, surpassing thought, was hung upon a wall of inmost mind. Illumining the world's concrete images, into significant symbols by its gloss. It offered to the intuitive exegete its reflex of the eternal mystery. Ascending and descending twixt life's poles, the serried kingdoms of the graded law plunged from the everlasting into time. Then, glad of a glory of multitudinous mind, and rich with life's adventure and delight, and packed with the beauty of matter's shapes and hues, climbed back from time into undying self, up a golden ladder, carrying the soul, tying with diamond threads the spirit's extremes. In this drop from consciousness to consciousness, each leaned on the occult inconscience power, the fountain of its needed ignorance, archmason of the limits by which it lives. In this soar from consciousness to consciousness, each lifted tops to that from which it came, origin of all it had ever been, and home of all that it could still become. An organ scale of the eternal's acts, mounting to their climax in an endless calm, paces of the many-visaged wonderful, predestined stadia of the evolving way, measures of the stature of the growing soul, they interpreted existence to itself, and, mediating twixt the heights and deeps, united the veiled married opposites, and linked creation to the ineffable. A last high world was seen, where all worlds meet. In its summit gleam, where night is not, nor sleep, the light began of the Trinity Supreme. All there discovered what it seeks for here. It freed the finite into boundlessness and rose into its own eternities. The inconscient found its heart of consciousness. The idea and feeling, groping in ignorance, at last clutched passionately the body of truth. The music, born in matter's silences, plucked nude out of the ineffable's fathomlessness the meaning it had held but could not voice. The perfect rhythm, now only sometimes dreamed, an answer brought to the torn earth's hungry need, rending the night that had concealed the unknown, giving to her her lost, forgotten soul. A grand solution closed the long impasse in which the heights of mortal effort end. A reconciling wisdom looked on life. It took the striving undertones of mind and took the confused refrain of human hopes and made of them a sweet and happy call. It lifted from an underground of pain the inarticulate murmur of our lives and found for it a sense illimitable. A mighty oneness, its perpetual theme, it caught the soul's faint scattered utterances, read hardly twixt our lines of rigid thought, or mid this drowse and coma on matter's breast, heard like disjointed mutterings in sleep. It grouped the golden links that they had lost, and showed to them their divine unity, saving from the error of divided self, the deep spiritual cry in all that is. All the great words that toiled to express the one were lifted into an absoluteness of light, an ever-burning revelation's fire, and the immortality of the eternal voice. There was no quarrel more of truth with truth. The endless chapter of their differences, retold in light, by an omniscient scribe, traveled through difference towards unity. Mind's winding search lost every tinge of doubt, led to its end by an all-seeing speech that garbed the initial and original thought with the finality of an ultimate phrase. United were time's creative mood and tense to the style and syntax of identity. A paean swelled from the lost musing deeps, an anthem pealed to the triune ecstasies, a cry of the moments to the immortal's bliss. As if the strophes of a cosmic ode, a hierarchy of climbing harmonies, peopled with voices and with visages, aspired in a crescendo of the gods from matter's abysses to the spirit's peaks. Above were the immortals' changeless seats, white chambers of dalliance with eternity, and the stupendous gates of the alone. Across the unfolding seas of self appeared the deathless countries of the One. A many-miracled consciousness unrolled vast aim and process and unfettered norms, a larger nature's great familiar roads. Affranchised from the net of earthly sense, calm continents of potency were glimpsed. Homelands of beauty, shut to human eyes, half seen at first through wonder's gleaming lids, surprised the vision with felicity. Sun belts of knowledge, moon belts of delight, stretch out in an ecstasy of widenesses beyond our indigent corporeal range. There he could enter, there a while abide. A voyager upon uncharted routes, fronting the viewless danger of the unknown, adventuring across enormous realms, he broke into another space and time.